Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take this message this morning and bring to us, Father, the truth and the depth of it, so that we, Father, can gain more knowledge, walk straighter way of righteousness, be more your child than we've been before, to be used according to your will and your way. And Father, we know that we have to walk by the word of Almighty God. Father, we know this, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're back into the four Gospels this morning. We're dealing with chapter 15. Once again, we're going to be getting into parables as we come through all of the books of the four Gospels. We deal with parables. Now, here in 15, verse 1 and verse 2. Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You see, they're not happy about anything he does. Not one thing. They are constantly looking for something to complain about with him, and a way to get rid of it. And they are supposed to be the religious ones. Now, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. When he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, when you really stop and think about that, he's talking here that one sinner that becomes saved through the Lord Jesus Christ has more rejoicing in heaven than, as he puts it here, 99 just persons, those that don't need no repentance at the time being. But he has caused all to rejoice. Now, or either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends, her neighbors, and together saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. You see, the repentance of one sinner causes a lot of joy, even with the angels now. All right, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. We've all heard this probably several times. There's also one that a lot of us forget most of the time. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all there, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would train, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was eating what the pigs eat. Now, 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants my father have, bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. And they begin to be married. Now his older brother, or his elder son, this boy's older brother, was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. But you see, his brother didn't figure things that way. And there is a lot of jealousy in a lot of families. And let me tell you something. When you, in a family that are not church going, not a church going family, family that really studies the Word of God, and you find the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life changes, you're going to find that those that will turn the quickest against you are those of your family. I know, I've been down that road. If you hold true to the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a time when they will all change in the way they think about you. It doesn't mean that they'll all go and change and go to the Lord, but they'll change in the way they treat and think about you. If you hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to walk as a child of God. Now, going into chapter 16. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accursed unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. And I am resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. He cut it in half. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write fourscore. 80. 8. And the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I'm going to take a look at that verse here in my footnotes. It says, mammon of unrighteousness is earthly as opposed to heavenly riches. When you fail is an emphasis for when you die. But another interpretation would be, when the day comes that wealth fails, this verse is not teaching salvation by work, but it does stress true discipleship also involves financial commitment. They refer to heaven's angels and is a way of indirectly referring to God. Now, 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. In other words, you are either walking rightly or you're not walking rightly. And you're going to be awarded accordingly. 11. If there you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust and true riches? 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Letting us know we have to be faithful to all. But they're not going to be faithful to us. 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve the things of this world and also serve God. He has got to come and be first in your life if you're going to serve him. And there's a lot of things of this world that you will have to give up in order to be that faithful servant of Almighty God. Now, 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Naturally, you see, it doesn't matter what he tells them. They don't like it. The Pharisees don't. And the scribes. 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves. Uh-oh. Before men. Talking now to the Pharisees. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among man or men is an abomination in the sight of God. You see, God does not pull his punches. He does it just like it is. A lot of men kind of does not like that. They don't want to hear it. And that's why a lot of your churches that are teaching the truth of God's word, you're not going to find them great big. Because in this day and time, when you go to speaking the truth of God's word to most of mankind out here, they don't want to hear it. And they'll tell you right to your face, I don't want to hear that. That's all just baloney. And they use those words. All right, now, 16, the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. 17, and it is easier for heaven than earth to pass, than one tittle of the law to fail. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. You see, that law of God is not going to fail. He's not talking about the Mosaic law. He's talking about the law of God. 18. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. So you see, when you separate and divorce, it's not likely that both of you are going to stay single. And if one of you remarries, you're not only causing you and that one commit adultery. There's always another one involved. Now, you see, I divorced my wife. She goes out and she marries another one. She's caused another one to be committing adultery. That's why we work in marriages, to stay married. We need to sit down and talk. But most of all, we need to come together at certain times of the evening or the day and get into God's word together and study his word together and walk in the ways of God, bringing that into our marriage. Because you see, when we got married, that marriage is not between just two people. It's between three. It's between you and your wife, the one you marry, and Almighty God. So you need to keep him involved in it, and you in him. Work together to keep that marriage together until death takes one of you. That's the only way you're free to marry again. nowadays, percent of all marriages are ending in divorce. Even in our churches, the percentage is the same. And that ought not to be. But they are not teaching against it. Mankind is just doing whatever he wants to do because he's leaving God out of his life. All right, now, 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, in fine linen, and fared scrumptiously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, we've all heard the story of Lazarus. We're going to hear it once more. Because a lot of times we forget these things. I'll put it this way. We might not totally forget it, forget that, but we forget to walk in it and walk with it in our lives. And very scrumptiously every day, 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Uh-oh. We're getting a little description of hell, ain't we? And how terrible that torment is when he's begging just for Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. And just what's on it to cool his tongue a little. Now, 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Because Lazarus, even though he was a beggar, he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich man didn't. 26. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, we can't change places. That gulf is not going to let us come to you, nor you come to us. 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Send him to my brothers. Let him testify to them, so they don't come here where I am. He's in such torment, he don't want his brothers there. But Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We're letting him know, no, that's not going to cause them to repent at all. We have finished with 15 and 16. We're going into 17. Verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he be cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The apostle says unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, seven times will be kind of hard for them. So they're asking for him to increase their faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That's not a whole lot of faith, is it? It's a grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed. No. Now, 7. But which of you, having a servant flying or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Throw not. In other words, he's saying, no, I don't think so. He's not going to do that. He's not going to thank that servant by doing that. So likewise, ye, when you shall have done all those things are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Have you done what you know to do in serving Almighty God? And are you spending time listening to him to see what else he may have for you to do? And doing that also. Now, 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. But you see, when he told them to go show themselves to the priest, and by them being obedient, he healed them because they were not allowed to go as a leper to the priest. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give thanks to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. We see so many times in these four Gospels where when healing was done, Jesus has told him, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has done the healing. It ought to tell us something, shouldn't it? 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Now he's talking to them about his death and his resurrection. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man when he comes back. And we're in those kind of days right today. In fact, to my way of thinking, we're probably in a little worse already, doing things that they didn't even do in Noah's day. Now, 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And what are we doing? We're doing the same thing, aren't we? And yet, we have even greater sin than what a lot of them were doing. 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other one shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. We have just finished with chapter 17, and we're going to stop there for this morning. Hopefully, we'll be picking up with 18 this evening. But remember, a lot of things that we don't use in our lives because we don't think about it, and yet we've read it. We know it's in the Bible. When we get to it, we say, you know, I've read that many, many, many times. And yet we're not living it because we're not thinking about it. Because we are not really staying in and with the Word of Almighty God. That's why. And that was another reason that I felt God leading me to hold Bible study of a morning and of an evening every day. Because mankind is walking further and further and further away all the time. I found out about a statistic yesterday that I did not know. But the man that gave it to me is a friend, but he's also a man that is regarded in a lot of places and has a way that he receives a lot of things that you and I don't, especially from our government and things that way. And I was told yesterday while I was talking with him, the Methodist Church has lost half of their churches. Due to accepting homosexuality and abortion. And they've lost half of their churches. And they're still losing churches. We know of one right now we're waiting to hear about that he's closed. Now, he didn't close for that reason. He closed because it had a woman pastor that couldn't get along with her congregation. And they wanted nothing to do with her. They sent her back to her association and told them not to send her back, that they were closing. And they did. They closed. They're bringing that church out from under the Methodists, and they're putting it up for sale. And I was told yesterday that their attorney, that they've received the deed back, and they've all signed it, and he is looking for it to be back with him within a week, he said. Think about that. Lose half of your churches because you would not stop what was causing them to leave. Think about it. You think man hasn't got hard-hearted? You know, God warned us about being hard-hearted. But he was showing us something. So he had gotten the information. And it was true. They have lost half. If they have, how many of these other denominations that have been accepting the same thing, how many have they lost? I know everywhere we go, we're seeing churches close or are on the verge of closing. We're seeing a lot that's already closed. And we're seeing a lot that is right on the verge. They're down to 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, 7 people. Got one, just a couple of, about a quarter of a mile from me, this son told me they're going to be closing by the first of the year. And 4 within a 15-minute drive from my home is already gone. Because mankind will not listen to the word of God, and they're walking away from Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be seeing things in this day and time. It's going to be hard to even believe. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word with each other, so we can learn more because of the Holy Spirit giving us the guidance and speaking to us through your word, Father, and leading us in the way of righteousness, helping us to help others, Father. Now, Father, be with us through the remainder of this day. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work within our families. We all have family members that are walking in darkness. Holy Spirit, work for them. Help us to help them to turn from darkness to light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as their Lord and Savior, repenting of their sins, Father, and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can make heaven their home. And for those, Father, that are walking out here in sickness and disease, we pray that they will receive the healing that has been given to them. Because your word tells us that we are healed by Jesus' stripes. The stripes he bore gives us our healing. It's already been given. We need to receive it by faith. Praise you and thank you and the Lord Jesus Christ for it. Now, Father, use us. Let us speak to someone today about the Lord Jesus Christ. May there be someone that this day we can lead to a saving knowledge of Jesus, so that all of heaven can rejoice in one more Father being saved. Now, keep us in health, keep us safe, and Father, bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone, have a great day. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.